On today's DX Party Line, it's a great pleasure to welcome Jerry Berg to be with us. Jerry is an author. He's been active as a shortwave listener in the radio hobby for, well, at least 50 years, right, Jerry?
Started in 1958.
Wow. And so exactly 50 years. Well, welcome to the DX Party Line. To my memory, at least since I've been producing the program, the first time that you've been able to join us this way.
I think that's right, but I've listened to the program many times over the years, so DX Party Line is no stranger to me.
Great. Well, Jerry, tell us, before we actually start talking about your two new books, which is the reason I invited you to be with us today, tell us a bit about your experiences as a DXer, please.
Well, as I said, I started back in 1958 when I was 15 years old, and like a lot of kids in those days, I got into it by buying one of those electronic kits where you could make a doorbell or you could make a radio or you could make various other things. And I made a little one-tube radio. And when I was using it, I started hearing stations like Radio Moscow and HCJB, which, of course, is always one of the first stations that people hear. And I was hooked, and I've been with it pretty much ever since. I've had some periods of inactivity when I've been at school and so forth, but for the most part, I've been at it ever since, pretty much on a continuous basis since 1958.
Well, Jerry, thanks for sharing many of your experiences through your books. Your first one was called On the Short Waves, 1923 to 1945, subtitled Broadcast Listening in the Pioneer Days of Radio. And Radio Netherlands said of this book, every so often, there comes a publication which is so unique and so outstanding that you know instantly it will become a classic. This is one such publication. To sum it up in a single word, masterpiece. First, congratulations on the first book, Jerry. Tell us briefly about your experiences with that book.
Well, that book came about largely as a result of my involvement in the collecting of early radio memorabilia and ephemera magazines and other publications and that sort of thing. That goes back to the mid-1980s. I had been shortwave listening and DXing in the mid-80s, and quite by happenstance, I attended a meeting of a local antique radio club. A new club was starting up. And when I was there, I bought a box of old radio magazines. I think they were Radio News, as I remember. And they were from the 1930s. And when I got home and started reading these magazines, I realized that there was all of this DXing activity back in the 1930s that I was totally unaware of. I had never seen any references to it in club bulletins or other shortwave publications. So this was all new to me. And about the same time, back in the mid-80s, a group of us formed the Committee to Preserve Radio Verifications, the purpose of which was to try to salvage QSL cards from their demise when DXers passed away or lost interest in the hobby and whatnot. And these two kind of historical activities are what really got me involved in early shortwave history. And I began collecting things and realizing that nobody had ever written up this period from a listener's standpoint. There was some academic material, although not a lot of it. And, of course, there was some material about propaganda stations, rather, during the war years, but really nothing from the listener's standpoint. And so I started assembling all of the material, and before I knew it, I had a book, and that's the book you make a reference to. It talks about the stations of that era, how shortwave developed in the United States, which is kind of an interesting subject all its own. The magazines, the clubs, the QSLs, the stations during the war years, and so forth. And that was really my major historical activity until these two new books that came out recently.
I can imagine when you first found these old magazines, it would be like a child in a candy store. What do I do now? So much.
It was really unbelievable because I considered myself to be someone who knew something about the subject matter. I'd been listening for almost 30 years. I was active in club circles. I had read all of the materials that were out there. But this entire period of shortwave listening and DXing in the 30s and 40s had been pretty much lost to history because nobody ever wrote it down. And it was quite a surprise to me to find it. And in discussing it with other listeners, I discovered that there were very few other people out there who knew much about it either. There were some who had lived it, but there weren't too many of those folks around anymore who were active in shortwave. So it was all new.
Well, the first book, again, is titled On the Shortwaves, 1923 to 1945. The two new books, Listening on the Shortwaves, 1945 to today, and Broadcasting on the Shortwaves, 1945 to today. Jerry, first, why two books this time?
Well, that was purely happenstance. I didn't start out intending to write two books. I started out intending to write one book. But I found that there was just so much material available that I said to the publisher, I said, look, we're either going to have to cut this way, way back, or we're going to have to separate it into two books. And they agreed that there was enough material to make two hopefully worthwhile publications. And we decided to split it up, to divide it up, based on the listening side, which is basically a review of hobby kinds of subject matters, and the broadcasting side, which is really a review of the broadcasting stations. So that's how one book became two.
Tell us, please, about Listening on the Shortwaves, 1945 to today. What can we find in it?
Well, the book is 415 pages long. It's a big book. Both of the books are pretty large in size. And what you'll find in the listening book, I start out with a little bit of a prelude to 1945, what was going on in the years before 1945, basically a quick summary of much of the material that was in the first book. And then I talk a little bit about the shortwave audience, who listens to shortwave and why, what's the distinction between shortwave listening and DXing, what professional audience research is there out there. How important are listener letters? I talk a little bit about some early academic research on American shortwave listening and so forth. Then I go on to discuss the shortwave clubs, mainly of North America, but also some of the foreign clubs that have had an impact on DXing and shortwave listening in North America. And we talk about some of the big clubs like the Newark News Radio Club and the American Shortwave Listeners Club, North American Shortwave Association, and so forth, and also some of the smaller clubs that are long gone, the Universal Radio DX Club, the International Shortwave Club, and others. Then I move into a review of the shortwave literature since World War II, and here we cover some of the official publications that issued from the American Foreign Broadcast Information Service and the BBC Monitoring Service, some of the magazines that SWLs and DXs are familiar with, like Popular Electronics, Radio News back in the 40s and so forth, some of the DX magazines like DXing Horizons, magazines like Popular Communications and so forth, really all of the magazines that have carried shortwave broadcasting information. We talk about the World Radio Handbook, Passport to World Band Radio, many of the DX newsletters that have been published and so forth. Then we talk about DX programs, including DX Party Line, needless to say.
Thank you.
And listener clubs, including HCJB's Andex Club.
Hmm.
We have quite a long section on receivers, shortwave receivers from the 1940s to the present. We go through the old tube receivers, the Hallicrafters, the Hammerlands, through the more modern equipment. There's a chapter on QSLing, how QSLing has changed over the years. And I talk a little bit about computers. Computers really have changed shortwave listening and DXing in a big way. These days you really can't enjoy, I think, shortwave listening fully if you're not computer literate. And so I talk about that and then ruminate a little bit on what the future may bring in terms of shortwave. So that's the listening book.
And then we have broadcasting on the shortwaves, 1945 to today. Can you give us a summary of that one?
Yeah, this is structured in a very different way. I start out with an introduction to shortwave broadcasting, a historical overview of international shortwave, domestic and tropical band shortwave. I talk about religious broadcasting, clandestine broadcasting, pirate broadcasting, and so forth. Also, the growth of jamming, the use of relay stations in shortwave, frequency allocation in shortwave, the post-Soviet shortwave era, and so forth. I try to basically paint a picture for someone who may not be totally immersed in the shortwave world. I try to give them a picture of what shortwave broadcasting is all about. But the bulk of the book is a year-by-year account of the shortwave broadcasting bands from 1945 through the middle of 2008. And for each year, I discuss the stations that were on, the stations that were heard by listeners, some of the principal changes in shortwave broadcasting that took place in any given year. And I can tell you, those that have read the books have told me that this is a real walk down memory lane, because if you were listening to shortwave in the 50s or the 60s or the 70s, this book is going to bring back lots of memories of stations that you've probably long since forgotten. And then I close the book by talking a little bit about how shortwave broadcasting has changed since World War II, some of the factors that have impacted audiences and broadcasters, deregulation of broadcasting in the Eastern Bloc, the development of new technologies and other media, and so forth. So that's the broadcasting book.
Well, Jerry, as I listen to you talk and as you tell us about these books, the next question comes to mind. Are they geared towards a person who has a lot of experience as a shortwave or as a broadcast listener, or would someone who's relatively new to the hobby really be able to take advantage of what you're offering?
No, someone who's new would be able to take advantage. I think if someone had no familiarity at all with shortwave, I'm not sure how enticed they might be in learning about shortwave broadcasting. But certainly anyone who has an interest in the subject matter, be it long and deep or fairly recent, would, I think, find these books interesting. For the person who's been at it for a long time, there'll be lots of memories of stations and DX experiences from the past. For the newcomer, I think they would get a good sense of how shortwave has developed and how we've arrived at where we are in terms of shortwave broadcasting.
Jerry, if someone wanted more information, where can they go to get information about the book?
They can get information from two places. They can go to my website, that's www.ontheshortwaves, that's one word, .com, www.ontheshortwaves.com. And they can also get information about the book, and they can order the book from its publisher, McFarland & Company in North Carolina. And their website is www.mcfarlandpub.com. That's McFarlandPub.com. And the book is also available from most all of the internet booksellers, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. It's also available from the Universal Radio website and so forth. So if somebody just puts the title into Google, they'll come up with a bunch of places that sell the book.
Jerry, just to finish up, and now you've written three books, a lot of experiences, 50 years of experience to share. Could you sum up and say, what did you enjoy most about writing these books?
I think what I enjoyed most was kind of improving my own perspective on the present situation. We certainly have less shortwave broadcasting now than we had 10 or 15 or 20 or certainly 50 years ago. Now we have things like leased time broadcasting. We have different technology. A lot of things have changed, and I think what I enjoyed most was being able to trace how these changes took place over the years. And of course, as a dyed-in-the-wool DXer, it was a real thrill to go back and research some of the stations that I knew myself from my own DXing experience, but that I haven't perhaps heard in decades. And it was fun to go back and conjure up memories of DX experiences from days gone by. So it was great fun to write the books.
Well, Jerry Berg, thank you for joining us today by phone from Lexington, Massachusetts in the United States. Thanks for your commitment to the DXing hobby, and thanks for what you shared today about these books here on the DX Party Line.
Thanks, Alan. I appreciate it.